The first reading is from Psalm 78, beginning in the 14th verse. In the daytime, he led them with the cloud, and all the night with a fiery light. He split rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink abundantly, as from the deep. He made streams come out of the rock and caused waters to flow down like rivers. Yet they sinned still more against him, rebelling against the Most High in the desert. They tested God in their heart by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God, saying, "Can God spread a table in the wilderness?" He struck the rock so that water gushed out and streams overflowed. Can he also give bread or provide meat for his people? Therefore, when the Lord heard, he was full of wrath. A fire was kindled against Jacob. His anger rose against Israel, because they did not believe in God and did not trust his saving power. Yet he commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven, and he rained down on them manna to eat and gave them the grain of heaven. Man ate of the bread of the angels. He sent them food in abundance. The word of the Lord.
The second reading is Corinthians 1, chapter 11, beginning in the 23rd verse. For I have received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." The word of the Lord.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The holy gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That is why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should also do just as I have done to you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Lord Christ. I want to pray for Ken as he prepares to preach. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak your word, that we would hear it, and it would bear fruit in our lives. And we pray for Ken that you would give him your word for us this evening. In Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. In between the time of Jesus' triumphant arrival in Jerusalem that we celebrated this past Palm Sunday, and the subsequent arrest, crucifixion, death, and rising that we will celebrate on Easter, there are many important lessons and examples given to us by Jesus Maundy or Holy Thursday presents two of these lessons. First, we will talk about the example he gave to his disciples, and that includes us, by the way, in the washing of the feet as described in the Gospel of John in chapter 13. Secondly, we'll talk about the Last Supper as described in 1 Corinthians. So in our Gospel reading tonight, Jesus demonstrates yet again his penchant for turning societal norms upside down. From eating with the wrong people to healing on the Sabbath to sitting with prostitutes so he could minister them and heal their souls. Instead of going with the flow, Jesus tells us, this is the way I do it, and this is how you should do it. It's very clear with the society at that time that there were masters and servants. Each had distinct jobs and responsibilities. Everyone knew that the servants washed the feet of their master's guests. Everyone knew that each had much different places in the social strata and the norms of the day. So when Jesus got on his knees in front of the disciples and started washing their feet, they were shocked. In verse 8, Peter says, "You shall never wash my feet." But Jesus immediately responds and says, "If I do not wash you, you will have no share with me." I was kind of thinking of a little side note in here because when Peter wasn't busy putting his foot in his mouth, he was pretty impetuous about other things too. For instance, jumping out of the boat to walk on water to come to Jesus, only to have Jesus save him. And so in tonight's reading, with his great and usual enthusiasm, he says, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head." I think if they had a shower nearby, he would have been heading right for it. In John 13, I didn't write down the page number, but in verses 12 through 15, starting in the middle of verse 12, Jesus says, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I am your teacher and have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's. For I have given you an example that you should also do, just as I've done for you." Now, hold on to that, and I'll come back to that in a minute. In the spring of 1986, I had just completed my first year of seminary studies. One Sunday, my pastor said to me, "Would you like to take a ride with me after the last service today?" I thought, why not? Maybe he's taking me out for breakfast. One can always hope, right? So off we went, passing by the more obvious places that serve food for breakfast, not stopping at any. Now we're out on country roads where I knew there was no places to go to eat. Finally, we pulled into a parking lot of a large brick building. And I immediately, upon observing the building, figured breakfast was out. The building had all iron bars on the front of all the windows. When we went around to the front of the building, there was a rather imposing metal door with a camera pointing at us. After being let in, we went to a classroom-like place. I noticed seating in front of us was more than a dozen young girls, all ages 13 to 16. They were inmates in this prison/school. Father Mike talked to them for the better part of an hour, and to be totally honest, I can't remember a single word he said until I heard this. "This is Ken. Starting today, he's going to be coming here each week to see you. Had there been an oxygen tank around, I would have grabbed it. Out in the car on the way back, he was filled with laughter. I think this is his version of Pastor Mayhem. It was at that point that I came to understand more fully the meaning of our gospel tonight. Verse 16, which wasn't read, goes on to say, "Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than the one who sent him." For me, this began a 2-year ministry, one that only could be possible by my sharing with them on the basis that we were all created equal, all in the image of God, all loved equally by God. This is how ministry begins. This is when God goes before you to bring healing and pour out his love. They were, over the 2 years, a true blessing to me. Sometimes I think I learned more from them than they learned from me. It was difficult. You became emotionally part of them. And when things went bad for them, you felt it. When Jesus said, "For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you." And when he said, "A servant is not greater than the one who sent him," he's not just speaking to his disciples, he's speaking directly to us. My friends, accepting Jesus means not just what we do here every week. It means following his example and doing what he instructs us, however we are led in each of our lives. Each of us are blessed with different gifts, different skills. And this is why we have those skills, so that we can love one another as God loves us. By now, you may have noticed there's something different in our sanctuary space today. And no, the altar's not out in the shop for repairs. We wanted to emphasize what Jesus was showing to us as he sat at the table with his disciples, so that he could give them and us another important example. In the 1 Corinthians reading today, we hear about what we have known most of our lives, the story of the Last Supper. And we've seen many pictures and paintings depicting that scene. And I think that this table has many meanings for all of us. For the table is a place where families come together. It's where we come to be nourished. That is, before there were tray tables and TVs. It is where family good news is shared and lifelong memories are created. I would venture to guess that it was much the same for Jesus, for all the times he sat at table with his friends and his disciples and shared the bread and the cup. However, this time, tonight, this meal was to become much different. It was to become more sacred. It was intended to be repeated throughout all of the Christian family until Christ returns to us again. In the very early days of the Christian church, long before we were Anglican, long before we were Roman Catholic, Episcopal, or any other denomination, we were just simply Catholic. Just as we believe today, baptism for adults was preceded by a period of repentance, and it is how our sins are washed away. It is how we become members of our one common Christian family. The ritual was at that time that the repentant individual was baptized in the vestibule of the church and then led into the community. And the first thing the newly baptized did was to do what we all do as family by participating in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. Over time, there have become theological differences surrounding the presence of Christ in the communion, and these differences have caused some separations amongst in our faith. But there remains one thing in common that's shared by us all. Each week, we come together as a family to participate in the instructions of Jesus given on the night he was betrayed. When Jesus took bread and broke it, he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in memory of me." And when Jesus took the cup, he said, "This is the cup of my blood, the new and everlasting covenant, shed for you and all, so that sins might be forgiven. Do this in memory of me." This is the table where Jesus is present to us when we gather together in remembrance of him. In doing so, we are spiritually nourished. We are blessed by him. We are more aware of the saving act of his death and rising. Why? Simply because he loves us. Recently, in some of my readings of other materials by Peter Scazzaro, where he quotes from another individual, Henry Nouwen, who talks about the process by which we too become bread, I ask you to consider where you might be in this process. During the Last Supper, bread was taken. It was blessed. It was broken. And then it was given. The first step in our spiritual life is to know that we are already taken or chosen by God from all eternity. We are his children. Because we are his beloved children, we are blessed by God. We could probably talk amongst ourselves for hours of all the times over our life that we've noticed we've been blessed by God. Because we are his beloved children, we are also broken. Just as potters break their creations to make it new and to make it better, so too our lives are broken so that God can make us new and draw us closer to him. This is a lifelong cycle of being broken and blessed, broken again and once more blessed. And finally, after we are chosen, blessed, and broken, all this is for one reason: to be given. God does this so that we might become bread for others, so that we might become instruments of God's love, so that in the washing of the feet, the breaking of the bread, and the sharing of the cup, our lives become a ministry to others, all loved equally by God, no masters, no servants, just children of God. Amen.